Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 36 of Magic FM. 36, Mashi?
36.
That's
wow.
Amazing.
Okay.
I know.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm starting to get surprised as the number increases. My name is Gabby Spartziv. You haven't been here with us before, and I'm joined by Mashi Skellen as always. Mashi, how are you?
I'm doing great, Gabby. How are you doing? You ready for this holiday weekend?
I mean, when you're a streamer, a lot of times holiday weekends don't really mean anything.
That's true.
But I am looking forward to, I don't know, doing some grilling probably.
Yeah, you're super lucky. See, people who aren't in the know.
Oh my gosh, I'm so lucky.
Yeah, Luis is like the grill master, the smoke master now. So I can only imagine what's coming for this holiday weekend for you guys.
I always make fun of him, but I pick fun of him. I'm not actually like complaining because he's like so dedicated to his craft, and he recently got a smoker. Like that was like one mm-hmm. of the big new purchases that we have. And he's been like spending like the afternoon as he's doing work, also like checking to make sure that the temperature of everything's working. So yeah. We were making fun of this Onion article that says, man has separated time in the afternoon to spend some quality like dad and girl time.
And that's Luis now, right?
That's just him.
I mean, Luis takes food very, very seriously. And the added bonus is he has always been on the savory side of things, right? Like if he could have an extra portion of delicious meat and sacrifice dessert, he would do that every time. Or at least that's how he used to be, where he was just way more into the savory side of the eating process than the dessert side.
He totally is, which actually complements nicely with the fact that I like baking a lot. So a lot of times when we're doing like an actual meal, like a Thanksgiving sort of thing, he'll mm-hmm. do a lot of the like savory stuff. I'll do the desserts. And you know, it works out pretty nicely because I think we just both have a lot more experience in those areas than the other.
Where do you land on that? Extra dessert or extra main course?
I always think savory is just better. Like I feel like almost... I mean, I love desserts, don't get me wrong, but I feel like it's just so easy. Like, there are some desserts that are really easy to make that are like pumpkin pie, for example. If you make a pumpkin pie from scratch, it tastes mm-hmm. exactly the same as making one from like canned puree. And mm-hmm. that's disappointing to me because I love the idea of like chopping up the pumpkin and like boiling it and then baking it and then you mash it and then you went through all this cool process to make this pumpkin pie from scratch and it's just tastes the same as like a store-bought one. So... yeah. Harsh truths, Mashi.
I have a massive sweet tooth.
Yeah.
So I'm all about that dessert. Sign me up. As she enjoys her nice Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Gotta do
it. Supposed to be Madrinas. Gabby, it's supposed to be Madrinas.
It is supposed to be.
I saw the powdered Madrinas. And I saw you made a sale because Dennis told me, he's like, oh yeah, hey, I bought the powdered cold brew. So I was like, let me know how it is.
It's actually pretty cool. You get to see when people use the code because it shows up a notification on your stream. So you actually get to see when people are buying it. So I always ask people what they bought / like whether they liked it or not. I like Madrinas quite a bit. I mean, I am sponsored by them, but I do like it a lot.
No, I'm not sponsored by them, but when they first contacted Luis, he had all this iced coffee sent to the warehouse.
That's sweet.
It's good.
Yeah.
It was really, really good. And they had a whole gamut of stuff that was like the black coffee, the cold brew, all the way through like a vanilla, you know, cream, like the sweet stuff. I'm like a black coffee guy.
They have a good mix of like pretty sweet coffees and like just cold brew with no sugar and stuff. Yeah, no, I like them a lot.
Let me tell you, before we dive in, I'll tell you my latest obsession. Ooh. Right now is there's two families in this area. I'm in San Jose, Santa Clara, the Silicon Valley. And Elaine found them on Instagram and they sell their food on Instagram. I don't know if Luis has told you about this. I am obsessed with them. One is called, they're like @twisted with a Y _ lies, LAIS. It's a Vietnamese family and they make fusion things. So there's this Vietnamese beef soup called Bun Bo Way. Mm-hmm. And they make a Bun Bo Way burrito, which is basically the stuff from the beef soup inside of a burrito.
It's a burrito?
It's so good.
That sounds so cool.
Then they made, you're not going to like this, but they made, well, maybe this would be the way for you to approach this. They also make a pho banh mi. Banh mi is Vietnamese style sandwich. Mm-hmm. And they put like the beef and all the fresh produce inside of a French baguette. And then they have the pho broth, like a French dip, and you eat it. And it was just like, it was so good. And so it's just a mom and pop thing, like direct to consumer. So you buy it on Insta, you Venmo them money, and then you drive out to their, they schedule an appointment with you,
you drive out to their house. And you just drive and pick it up?
Yep.
That's so cool.
The last time we did it, there were these cookies in there from a cookie company. And I was like, what are they? And it was the exact same thing. And they make these, they're called lace cookies. You ever had a lace cookie?
Uh-uh.
I didn't know what they were either, but they're delicious. And then they had all these like fruity pebble and pumpkin spice, which is why I thought of it right now, because yeah. I'm a pumpkin spice fanatic. And we just bought like three dozen. 3 dozen of those.
You're so, like, I have work to do this for July 4th weekend.
It's been awesome because I've been trying to support Asian, because like, you know, with COVID and everything, there's been a lot of backlash.
Yeah,
to Asian
I remember you mentioned that. I think that's awesome, by the way.
And this is like just cutting out the middleman. Like you're directly like, hey, this is an Asian family cooking out of their home and we're supporting them. So Elaine and I are super now we're actually looking for it, like on incense stuff. Like who else can we support this way? So it's just awesome. And it's been delicious and I'm just obsessed with it and loving
That's really cool. We do something a little similar. It's not, I don't think it's that quite that mom and pop one, but we buy tortillas from this family that's called Mi Familia, which is my family in Spanish. And they make authentic, like the tortillas that are authentic are made with lard usually. So it's these like nice, like crumbly, like really soft, beautiful tortillas. And then we make all of our like breakfast burritos and tacos and everything with them. And they make better tortillas and tacos than our own familias make, to be totally honest.
Right.
We buy from them all the time. And the first time we got them, I was like, Luis, you're outrageous. Like, why are you buying tortillas online? That's so weird. Like, why don't we just get them at like the local grocery store? And then a week went by and I was like, we're never going back to them. We're always buying from Mi Familia.
If you, anyone who's listening to this, you know, you'd have the exact same thought Gabby had. And I would have thought the same thing. The first time you have homemade tortillas, it is a game changer.
So good.
It's like a different thing. It's and you know, look, hey, everyone's baking, like you were baking bread for a while. It's the same thing like that. Home baked bread versus store bought bread, there's a difference. Yeah. Homemade tortillas, it's like, it's just a different thing. Like homemade flour tortillas are so good. So good.
Mi Familia, ship a sponsorship for Magic if I'm really just doing shout outs for them.
Yeah, that's true. You guys ship to California. I'll take some of those. No problem.
They're really good. I'm going to look for them and maybe include them in the show notes if anybody is interested in buying Mi Familia.
Oh,
totally.
Oh, yeah. I'll send you the information. Anyone who's listening in the Bay Area, check out at Twisted Lives and at West Coast Cookies.
Yeah, we can add those in the show notes for sure.
That's awesome. So
awesome. Well, speaking of actual sponsorships, what do we do? Oh. A shout out for the sponsor of the podcast. Masha, you told me about a cool new thing that CFB is doing, right? It's called You Box It, We Buy It.
Yeah. So it's only available for CFB Pro. So this is a service we're offering CFB Pro members. If you haven't joined CFB Pro, honestly, like I'm winning a ton on Magic, not Magic Online, online at Magic on Arena. I just built my first historic deck. I used Martin's like Gruul historic deck guide. I've been playing Simic Flash in Standard because of Huey's deck guide. I've made changes to that list, but you know, CFB Pro, I'm definitely playing more Magic, better at Magic, winning more Magic. So can't recommend it enough if you want to up your game. If you join, obviously use the code Gabby, G-A-B-Y. That supports this podcast. It supports all of Gabby's awesome content. So definitely do that. But one of the other perks of being a member of CFB Pro, besides the awesome Discord and the Showdown, which are also great things, is we rolled out a program called You Box It, We Buy It. The idea here is we want to take the pain out of buy listing cards. Literally, all you have to do is it's three steps. You go to channelfireball.com/all-strategy/UBoxWeBuy. That's a pain in the butt, but we'll link it in the show notes. And you can only access it if you're CFB Pro. So I don't want anyone to think, hey, just go to this. You want to join CFB Pro, do this. One, you fill out the form that's on that page. Two, you securely pack the cards you want to sell along with a note with your name and email address so we know who you are. And then three, you mail it to us. You don't fill out the buy list. You don't have to sort it. You don't have to do any of that nonsense. It's literally pack the cards, send it to us. They get to us, we'll sort it, we'll price it. We think it'll take about a week, you know, depending if we get inundated, we'll email them. But I think a week is more than enough time for us to sort these cards, price them out and say, hey, here's what the offer is. It just takes all the pain out. We're not taking bulk commons and uncommons. So please don't send us a pallet of bulk commons or uncommons. So, you know, don't do that, but send your stuff and just get it in the mail, get it to us. And it's good for international. It's good for anybody. Just send us. Obviously, if it's international, I mean, if it's domestic, it's your responsibility to make sure it gets to us, right? We can't be responsible for it not arriving, but once it arrives, we'll take care of it. So you box it, we buy it. It's one of the CFB Pro perks. And I think it's awesome because that's one of the biggest pieces of feedback we get is how painful it is to buy a list.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think this removes so much of the friction, which I think is really cool. And also, this is a nice perk for CFB Pro. I mean, I already feel like you get so many perks for being part of CFB Pro, but I feel like you guys are always doing more stuff that, Even if this is just a trial, right? This is an mm-hmm. actual benefit, especially if you have a bunch of stuff in your closet that you're not using and you might want to sell. Speaking of CFB Pro, Mashi, because I don't actually mm-hmm. think we talked about this. I hadn't played Standard in forever, and then I had to play the Mythic Championship qualifier on Arena. Like, that's the one that you play if you make top 1200 in either limited or. And I used, I believe, was it Mengu's or Luis? It was Luis's, actually. It was a Teamer Rec guide that had mm-hmm. how to play Teamer Rec, sideboarding options, like tips and tricks, like the deep dive. And it was so good. And I ended up going 4-2. Or sorry, excuse me, 8-2.
Yeah. So you were so close. Short. I was watching.
Too short.
So clumbing. You were climbing, and it was so, like, the climax of it was so bad because you were like, you were tweeting out. I remember watching this. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I was tweeting live updates as it was going, but it was like so much of it was using the deep dive because I did not know anything about the deck, but so many of the like tips and tricks that Luis talks about mm-hmm. in it came up. And I, like, it was little stuff like, I had not even thought about this, but it's like if some opponent plays an Uro and you have a Scorching Dragonfire and you don't have like better targets for it, you can just target it. And when Uro dies, it actually exiles itself.
It exiles.
Yeah. And it came up like 4 times through the tournament. I mean, I was just surprised. It was really sweet. So
it's also a great thing. So one of the things, I've never played Teamer Rec, and that deep dive in particular, I think is very complex. I've reread it multiple times to play against Teamer Rec. So it's not just if you're playing a deck, like just what is a good Teamer Rec player thinking? What are the strategies? If I think I'm playing against someone good, and I always assume that my opponent is good, how are they sequencing their lands? Because that's a huge part of that deck.
Yes.
And so reading that article got me in the head of my opponent, even though I wasn't playing the deck. So I thought it was great.
No, that's one of my favorite articles. Good. I mean, I wanted to give credit where credit was due because, like I said, I just haven't really been playing Standard very much. I'm like, I've always liked playing Limited more. I've always been a Limited player. But I wanted to try to like put my best foot forth for the Standard tournament, so it was awesome. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we had a chance to talk about it on the podcast. Maybe we did. I can't remember.
I don't remember either, but I don't think we had this conversation, so it was sweet.
Well, we do have other stuff we wanted to talk about this week.
Absolutely.
There's been a lot of controversy this week about a content creator who got kicked out of a content creator program. Her name's Lisbeth Eden. So we're going to get into the Lisbeth part in a sec, but we thought that in order to like really talk about what is happening here, we needed to talk about the content creator program, which has been very polarizing. And mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of criticisms that it's received. There's some things that it does well. And in order for us to kind of like talk about what happened with Liz, we also have to first talk about the content creator program and what we think about it. So that's kind of how we're going to break down today's episode. So for those who don't know, the content creator program is a program through Stream Elements that was started by Wizards not that long ago. It was pretty recent. And the goal of it is to give an avenue for content creators to receive stuff from Wizards by doing challenges and interacting in different ways that Wizards wants content creators to interact with them. So things like raid another streamer and you'll get some MTG Arena codes, and the codes can be things like it can be packs, it can be card styles, it can be a variety of things, all the way to get gold in a season and you'll get extra prizes, or sometimes they'll even do like cute challenges like pick 2 cards from the current set and draw them together on stream and try to make a mix of the 2 creatures. So the kinds of challenges and stuff that you get, they span pretty wide, like they're a wide mm-hmm. range. So I thought what was good to talk, like what we could talk about here, is the good stuff from the content creator program and then also the bad stuff from the content creator program, because a lot of people have given it a lot of flack, and I think a lot of the criticisms are real, and then I think a lot of the things maybe might be a little bit unfair of people not remembering how things were before the content creator program.
Sure.
All right, Mashi.
So we want to stick on the, we're sticking on the good, right?
Let's start with the good. Yeah, we can talk Let's about start, the good, we'll start stuff.
With good. I mean, I think this is, look, Wizards wants to promote streaming. They want to promote Arena, which, I mean, I had not played Magic Online in years, and I play Arena literally every day. And it's actually a goal of mine, is to, because I want to play more Magic. I talk about Magic. I'm in this ecosystem and part of this community. And so I said to myself, I need to play at least one match of Magic a day. And Arena makes that super easy. Okay. Sometimes I'll just do a draft and not play the deck, but I count drafting. This is actually part of
that. That still counts. Yeah.
And yeah. And I think Arena is great, and I think they should promote it. I also think, like, a lot of this to me, when I was reading the content, because in preparation for this, I knew about all the hubbub about this, but I wanted to educate myself. So I went to the Wizards site, and I saw what they were doing. Like, there are random challenges, like keep an all-land hand and, you know, win a game with an all starting seven is all-land, like weird stuff like that. And it's almost like this other level of, A, we want to give streamers something entertaining to do, right? Because a lot of these challenges are kind of fun, entertaining things, engage the audience. We want to give codes out so we get more players, and we want to provide incentives. Now, I don't want to get into the bad too much. I don't know how great those incentives actually are, but I think all of that in theory is really, really good. It gets content producers, streamers like yourself, you know, like other members of Team CFB, another reason to play the game. And if they're already doing that, like maybe someone like Deathsea, who I'm not sure if he's part of the content creator program, or Crockies or someone like that, they're already doing all this, you know, to some degree. There's some of the challenges they probably aren't, but they're already streaming so much Magic that this is just a free roll for them. So I think there's a lot really, really good in there, and they get guidance, right? If I'm a new streamer, I don't know what to do. Maybe I'm not quite sure what the best way to engage my audience is. Some of this stuff, if you do it right and you follow the roadmap, I think it's people at Wizards in Renton thinking, hey, this is really entertaining. This is engaging. Do this. And I go, okay, I trust you. Let me give that a shot. Let me give that a try. And you have a path. And sometimes that direction, especially when you're working from home, and we all feel this now, when you're working from home, you're a little bit aimless, that direction can really help. So I think those are all like really, really good things that this program offers.
I completely agree. And there is one other thing here that I think is worth mentioning. And it's that some people, I think, might not remember what things were like before the content creator program as far as things went for the streamer preview events. So for those who don't know, the streamer preview event is an event that happens specifically on Twitch a day before the new set releases. So a day before the new set becomes available to everybody, Wizards used to organize this event where you, if you were a streamer and they accepted you into it, could play with the cards a day in advance. That's pretty nice. It means you get to start making content before everybody else can, right? And it's in some ways, it's a pretty unfair advantage, right? Because that's content that you can put on YouTube, that's content that you can have on Twitch, but it is like, it is a thing that Wizards could give to content creators that has real value. The thing that was rough about that system is that there was no way of knowing if you were in it or how to get in it or what the guidelines were to get in it, period. It was a thing that you sent an email basically into a black void of not knowing, like you would just say like, hey, I'm a content creator. This is my Twitter. This is my Twitch. Please accept me into the upcoming streamer event. And you didn't know if you were going to get a response, if you were going to get in. Like there was just such ambiguity about it. There was no real structure. And that was bad because I remember a lot of people coming into my stream when I was doing the content creator or when I was doing the streamer preview event of people saying like, yeah, I applied this month, but I didn't get in. Maybe I'll get in next time. Yeah. And I remember it was like, it was a feel bad because it's people who like love and care about the game. And maybe they just have like an up and coming stream, but they're not super popular yet, but they certainly have a great community. They have a lot of great stuff going for them. And there was just no way to get into that event that wasn't just seemed like a shot in the dark. So this program actually made it a lot easier for you to see what you needed to do, because if you get accepted into the content creator program, you can take the challenge of, because just for terminology for people who aren't familiar, taking the challenge is accepting the thing that they give you in exchange for whatever, whether it be in exchange for codes, or in this case, you take the challenge to play in the streamer program or in the streamer event.
And the pre-release or the pre-release.
Yeah, it's like a pre-release essentially. So
yeah.
So that's another really good thing that the program did bring, because it brought a way for people to know how to get into that event, which was a big question mark for many, many months. Like this is a thing that just continuously happened for years, really, because there used to be these streamer showdowns, which used to happen on Magic Online like years ago.
And people always
try to get into those events, and there was no real way of knowing how to get into them. So
yeah,
that all is good. I think those are good things that the content creator program brings. However, there's a lot of downsides. And I think this is where people have criticized Wizards. And I think some complaints are very real, and I think some complaints are maybe a little unfair. So let's just kind of go through those. The first one, which I think is 100% real, is that it's too focused on streamers.
There's part of me just thinks like that's the only like real, like everything could change about the rest of the complaints if they just called it the streamer program or the MTG Arena streamer creator program. They made it too broad. And I think that the words matter. And I think if they had just narrowed it from the very start, a lot of the angst over it when it first launched would have evaporated. It would be like, hey, this is just for arena streamers, just cards on the table. This is a program just for arena streamers. And I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just think that could change everything about this program.
No, don't worry about cutting me off. I agree with that, but not fully, because I do think, take us for an example. We are Magic FM. We are a podcast about Magic news / talking about tortillas and food and a low key bandwagon replacement whenever they're not doing bandwagon. So, but we are a podcast that exists here because of Magic, and we have a lot of people who are engaged with us and listen and hang out with us every week, and that's awesome. But we are content creators, right? We are making Magic content. If you take a look at their thing, this is just not catered to us at all. There's not a single thing we can do on their program that would actually work for Magic FM. So yes, it's by saying that they're calling it the content creator program and it doesn't actually cater to all different kinds of content, that is disingenuous, because we are content creators. So are the YouTubers, right? This is like another big problem that the YouTubers have. They're like, well, this is all related to Arena. But
like the professor,
how does the professor interact with this? He doesn't really.
He's like one of the biggest content creators in this space, right? And he's not part of the content creator program. He can't be part of this program. Right?
But I also feel like I don't think just changing the name is fair, because it's like, why? I think what they should have done is launch the program and said, hey, we want to eventually have this cater to all kinds of content creators, whether it be podcasters or YouTubers or Twitch streamers or whatever. But by calling it...
Do you think that's what they want?
I'm
saying, like, I don't even think that's what they want. This is a marketing vehicle for... I have no inside knowledge. I don't know. But this feels like this isn't about content creation. This is about marketing Arena. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. The way they want to do that, which I think is laudable, is let's support the people who are making that arena content. That's what this program is for. It's not about supporting Magic content. It's about supporting Magic Arena content, because that's our big goal. So
I want to say that they do want that. And the reason I say that is because I have seen throughout the existence of this program, multiple people write an open letter to the content creator program and say, hey, these are the things I like, and these are all the things that I think you could improve upon, or the things that I wish would change. And I have seen responses from the people who work on the content creator program basically saying, like, hey, we're a small team. We do want these things too. We just can't like just have it all happen overnight. So I believe that they do want this to eventually be for all content creators, but it is a feel bad that it's called the content creator program, but it's really just for MTGA streamers. Like, even when I just stream Magic online, there's no way I can interact with this program. Not really.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. So that's one thing. To give them credit where credit is due, they, I think, have taken criticism and tried to like make changes to the program based on some of the criticisms. And I think people are unfair with that, because people see it and they're like, I don't know, people are so quick to condemn and just be like, oh, everything sucks. And then,
well, and people, you know, like this is just, I think it's just human nature. I hate to say it, but it's like, you look at it and you just always see the problems and you don't see the progress. And when you become older and more mature and you've worked with something for a while, you start to think about, like, some people hate Arena, and I understand favoring Magic Online versus Arena, but I played Magic Online when it first started. And trust me, having that be your vehicle back in the old days, and they've done a wonderful job. And people, some people hit on Magic Online. They've done a wonderful job making it better, right? Likewise, Arena as the next generation is awesome. Is it perfect? No. I mean, how many things in life really are?
Nothing. You know? Yeah.
You know, and so, but yeah, I totally agree with you. And I mean, Gabby, you've been a streamer. You've been part of this community, the streaming community, not the content creator program necessarily, but the streaming community for so long. So you've seen it evolve.
Yeah.
And that's an important perspective. People come to it now, especially, you know, we've already talked about how we're going to talk about Elizabeth Eaton stuff. People are coming to it now with fresh eyes going, well, now I see all the problems. This is terrible. You know, blah, 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 blah. It's like, yeah, hey, welcome to today.
Right.
But guess what it was like yesterday and how much progress they've made. And it's easy to lose sight of that.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I do think it's important to take a look at, hey, where were we and where are we now? Because mm-hmm. I think it's really easy to condemn things when you just see like exactly today and don't remember, hey, I've been around for 5 years and I've seen how things started. Like mm-hmm. This is night and day from where we started. Another thing, just like some of the downsides of the content creator program, they do drop people if they're not active with their quests. And I'm sure it was somewhere in the terms, but like, let's be honest, people don't really read the terms when they accept things.
Yeah.
And so what people have found out is when they then wanted to play the streamer preview event, they were like, oh, wait, I got kicked out of the program. And the other thing too is
awkward.
The way you stay on the program is just by taking on their quests. It's not related at all to the kind of content you output. So I've seen people say like, I stream Magic 3 times a week. Like maybe it's a variety stream, but they stream Magic 3 times a week. Or I make YouTube videos 5 days a week, but apparently that's not good enough to keep me in the program. So that is mm-hmm. a real criticism. I bet there's a different way they could handle kicking right. people off this thing, especially if they went through the trouble of already accepting them. But
I mean, the other side of that too, that I saw a bit of was like, hey, I'm a competitive player and I stream a competitive stream and my audience, the people who are watching me stream, they want to watch competitive Magic. So when you say things like win a game with a 7-lander, no competitive player playing Magic to my audience who says, hey, not my audience, but you know, I'm a good Magic player that wants to watch competitive Magic, they're not along for that ride. They don't want to see me try to win that game because that's not what they tuned in for.
Right.
Those are the other ways, like even within the game where it's like competitive versus casual and all that stuff, that becomes super problematic, right?
Yeah. I do think they took some of that criticism because they did receive that from multiple people saying like, hey, you know, that's not really what my stream's about. I don't really want to Pictionary draw 2 cards and mix them together. Mm-hmm. Like I'm a competitive stream. So they have mm-hmm. been adding challenges that are like make gold in a season or get 7 perfect wins, no losses in a draft. Like those are challenges that you can take on, which are sweet because then that's like, okay, this is my cup of tea. I can mm-hmm. engage with this one. So
right.
credit to them for actually adding that stuff in.
Good.
Because initially,
yeah, that's awesome.
Some of the challenges were like raid a stream with X amount of people or stream Arena for this many hours. And honestly, it felt like, do you just want me to like sit there and like mindlessly keep streaming Arena until I complete this challenge? Because that sounds boring. Nobody wants to watch mm-hmm. that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they did change that stuff. The last thing that's kind of annoying that I know they are working on is the FTC compliance, which is when you receive codes for free, you have to disclose that you receive the codes for free so that you're FTC compliant. The problem is it's really noisy because every time you complete an event, you have to tweet it out. So, and a tweet is just nonsense. It's like, I got free codes from the MTG Arena, #sponsored, #WizardsCreatorProgram, #blah, blah, 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 #FTC compliant. And people just go. So you'll see sometimes on your Twitter timeline, if you follow like Magic Personality, sometimes they'll have like 5 tweets in a row and it's because they're claiming 5 different bounties. And then the other thing that people do, which is awful, is then they delete those tweets, which makes it worse. You can't do that. Right. So a bunch of people are doing that. And I know what they were working on is a way for you to batch claim multiple things. So I send 1 tweet, but it's for 5 bounties.
Yeah, that's what you want.
Yeah. So that is something that at least I know they're working towards, but it is a pretty mm-hmm. annoying thing about the program right now.
So what else, because Gabby, you're part of this ecosystem and we know we don't want to just bring grief, like what are some possible suggestions you have for how they can, you know, judge this into a better spot?
Totally. So I think they're already starting to do this, but I think they can do more, and it's just offer a wider range of challenges for both competitive and casual streamers. And also, if this is just going to be an Arena thing, change the name of it. Like, this is, people are getting hung up on the fact that it's called the content creator program. And let's be real, it's an arena streamer program. Just call it what it is. Mm-hmm. And if you want to eventually cater to more people, then also you can make an announcement and say like, hey, we are working on doing this stuff. Like, we do want to bring in the podcasters. We do want to bring the YouTubers, but don't make me feel like this program isn't for me just because I didn't play arena. It makes me feel kind of worthless, right?
Yep. I agree. Totally.
I think, expanding on the rewards that are available could be sweet, because right now the rewards are like, yes, they have value, but they're not very valuable. Like, they're just like a pack on Arena. That's just not worth that much. There are some stuff that you can claim for yourself, but even then it's just like, I'm sure Wizards has a lot of things that they can work with to give rewards to their content creators that don't have to be just styles or just packs. Like, they have lots of tools in their arsenal. Yep. And well, batch submitting the claim codes would be very good. And you know, adding challenges to specific platforms. So like something like, what if they had a challenge that's like, hey, like, I would never have a problem if I see a challenge that's specifically for YouTubers, because it's like, hey, this is the challenge for YouTubers. Like, sure. What if they had a challenge in there that was like, talk about the specific topic in your podcast? There's lots of magic podcasts that talk about stuff. I would not have a problem with podcasters being able to talk that. That's sweet. Right. So I think they can make challenges that not everybody can participate in that I think will make everybody feel more included by doing so.
Yeah.
And I think that would be really good.
Even if they did that now, if streamers need to get on a podcast, talk about something, DM us. Like, jump. I mean, all that stuff is accessible to you. Get on. I mean, there's plenty of YouTubers out there who maybe would take you on their stream and just have you on as a guest. You know, there's all kinds of ways. It's a community, and there's, you know, you can work with other people in other mediums, be it a streamer, be it a YouTuber, be it on pod, be it a podcasting, whatever it is. So, I mean, I don't think they close any doors or doing that, and they open a lot. So it just seems like an awesome thing to do.
Yeah. So I do think people, I think the idea for the program is very good. I know that the people that are working on the program have good intentions, and they want this to eventually cater to everybody in a positive way. I think it's unfair when people just want to throw the baby out with the bathwater and just be like, everything sucks. Screw this program. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. We don't burn it to the ground.
Yeah. And some people just want to just throw it all out. And it's like, you all are forgetting how some of the stuff was, and it was not good. And this program is actually giving some valuable things, even though it could be doing it better.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Totally. Yeah. Some people just want to watch the world burn.
Gabby. Yeah, for reals. So, all right. So that's our discussion about the content creator program. And now we're going to get into I thought it was good to talk about, because this has been a pretty divisive thing. Like, people talk about the content creator program all the time. Mm-hmm. But this is what happened with Liz. Liz is a magic personality, and she also has an OnlyFans account. For people who don't know, OnlyFans is kind of like Patreon for adult content. So you can sign up. There's different tiers, just like in Patreon. And you can sign up to get, you know, 18 plus content from the platform, from that specific creator. So it is essentially a way that someone can monetize their 18 plus content pretty effectively, just like you would a podcast in Patreon or a stream via Twitch subs. So she was initially accepted to the content creator program a while back. And then a couple of days ago, she received an email from Wizards of the Coast that said, let me actually just get it. I think it'll be better if we just read it verbatim. She actually posted the screenshot of it. It says, Magic Creator Program Violation and Removal. Hello, Lizbeth. It has come to our attention that you have been distributing magic content that is against our code of conduct, including photos featuring adult nudity and sexualized posting. This is a violation of your participation in the Magic Creator Program and Magic Sponsored Events. As a result, you will be removed from the program in accordance to Section 3 of the Wizards Creator Program Terms and Conditions, specifically under the Code of Conduct Section 2 states. Do not use, distribute, or link to obscene, pornographic, sexually explicit, graphically or gratuitously violent, derogatory, demeaning, malicious, defamatory, abusive, offensive, hateful, or discriminatory language or content. This includes masking language by using alternative character spelling, spacing, to get around profanity filters, or claims with a profanity filter testing, Wizards of the Coast. And that was just the email that she got. This has sparked an outrage.
Yep.
It's been blowing up. I mean, it's been getting picked up by media outlets, more than just people talking about it on Twitter. This has like truly blown up.
Yeah.
So Mashi, where should we start with this conversation? It's we were kind of getting into it before the podcast.
Yeah, like, our pre-show we went into it. So I think that, you know, one, there's a world of difference. So when you read this section, right, when you take a look at this, you say, you know, the section two that they're basing this off of, do not use, post, distribute, or link to obscene, pornographic, sexually explicit, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera stuff. So right off the bat, you have to ask yourself, why was she let into this program? Not like kind of, do we think she should be a part of this? Should she be an influencer? Should she be a content producer? That's not the question I'm asking. What I'm saying is, why did Wizards of the Coast let her in? Because there is a world of difference between not letting someone in and then letting them in and then kicking them out.
So yeah. let me put a pin on, I don't mean to interrupt you, Mashi, but I realized that for people to understand the full context of it, I should explain the reason that people think she got kicked out.
Because yes, let's do that. Yeah.
So one of the things that Liz has always done is she has kept the content that she makes about magic separate from her adult content. They are intermixed in her Twitter because this is just part of who she is. Like, she will have pictures in bikinis and then she'll tweet about something magic related, but she'll never post like a racy picture next to a like magic thing. The thing that she believes is the reason she got kicked out is because back in April, she did a picture of, it's basically her kind of like gold plated and she's not wearing clothes, but she's angling in such a way where she's covering up.
Yep.
And it was put on a magic border, and the magic border is called Woman of Magic, and it's like a 5-mana legendary creature that's a goddess of knights, and it's like at the beginning of each upkeep, create a 2/2 white knight creature token with vigilance. You may cast Woman of Magic from your graveyard or from exile. And then the flavor text is, the game you seek to play I've already won. And so this was a collaboration between Liz and the proxy guy. And that was the card. So apparently this card was posted back in April, and presumably, we don't know, Wizards saw this card, were not okay with it, kicked her out of the program. But once again, we read the email that they sent. They didn't actually say why. And she thinks that this is the reason that she got kicked out of the program. All right, back to you. I think it was important for people to know, like,
no, I think
why,
it is.
Yeah.
By the way, just on this card real quick, 1BB, 3 generic for a 5/5 legendary goddess of knights that produces 2/2 vigilance creatures that you can play from graveyard to exile. This is not a flavor win for me. I don't understand what's happening.
No, it's really not. This, like, is not a Demir card. I thought the same thing.
Not to go there with it, but just in general, like, come on. This violates a lot of like color pie and like, just I'm not gonna lie,
I thought the same thing, and I was like, it's so unrelated to the topic that I was like, yeah, let's just let him fly.
Like, if she's the goddess, maybe she should be indestructible. There should be some type, you know, like,
this seems like a white black card or something.
Like that. Anyway, okay, enough of that. So she's in the program and we don't know why. And I think I do think people hate that. People hate not knowing why decisions are made. Just the corporate hat, the legal hat, whatever you want to call it. You don't want to do that because you don't want to necessarily engage, because all of a sudden it becomes, because you did this, and now I have to argue with you about why that was right or why that was wrong. So this is much meaner. This is much more cruel. But keeping it vague and not stating it is just a better thing to do if you're a company. Okay, just straight off the bat. Because you don't want to go, you don't want to have this tit for tat argument.
Remember, guys, Mashi's the lawyer too, so he definitely knows what he's talking about here.
So that's why they keep it vague. But now we're into this world where, she was in the program, and I have to imagine, like, first of all, I don't want to assume, and because I think this would be true incompetence, that she was led in this program without someone at Wizards having knowledge of her OnlyFans, right? Do we agree on that?
Yes, yes, we agree. Part of applying to the program is you're supposed to fill out all this information about you, who you are, what kind of content you make, blah, 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 blah. And you have to put it all out down in an application. So unless someone's out there just being like, yes, 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 and just approving everyone, which I really don't think is what's happening, they had to have known, because it would have gone onto her Twitter or her Twitch or anywhere she has stuff, and you will have seen a link to her OnlyFans.
Right. So I assume this was all out there, and you know, letting her in is letting her in knowing that this is what she does. This mm-hmm. is how she pays her bills. And just straight up, like, I will say this. This is some advice I got when I was in law school, because I went to a very liberal law school. And everyone's like, don't go to big law. Even though they pay you a lot of money, don't do that. Go do public sector stuff, which is, you know, great. Like, my heart wants to do that, but big law does pay really well. And my criminal law professor, Professor Lawrence, Freddie Lawrence, shout out to Professor Lawrence. He said to me, he's like, you know what, Mosh? You can take advice from it. If your parents want to say that and they want to do that, or your friends, like, here's the key. When people start paying your bills, they can start telling you how to live your life.
That's really good advice. Holy moly.
And it's just like, that's it. Like, if this is how you pay your bills, pay your bills. I'm not paying your bills. I'm not offering to pay your bills. Like, you go do the job you need to do, right? So that's right off the bat right there. But she's led into this program. This is out there. And again, I assume that this was known. Kicking her out basically because of this, because maybe you want to say it's because of this magic card, but someone somewhere at Wizards or at Hasbro, in my opinion, stumbled into this and was like, whoa, no, we've got to separate now. And I think that's hugely problematic.
I also feel like part of me feels like it was just an excuse. Like, I feel like the image that she got kicked out for was just an excuse to get her kicked out of the program. Like,
I totally agree.
That and part of me just feels that. Like, that's just how it seems to me.
So what happens, and I asked you this before we went live, what happens is, if it's not that card, she just cosplays Earthbind. She just does Earthbind. And that's the pose. That's the card she did, which I think would be much worse than the pose she has now in this card. If she just is straight up cosplaying from the Quentin Hoover art for Earthbind, and that's what she's doing, that is pretty graphic, yes, and explicit that's in its own ways.
So we were talking about this, like, right before the podcast, and we actually stopped because we were like, hey, no, let's just save this for the podcast. This is, we're literally just having the podcast right now. So one of the criticisms that Wizards has been facing here is people saying, hey, you have historically used a lot of pictures of racy pictures, basically, mm-hmm. Or suggestive pictures of women specifically in your cards. And this has always been a children's card game. Like, this is established. Wizards makes a children's card game. It's called Magic the Gathering. Yes, a lot of adults play them. Yes, we're doing the podcast for it, but it's supposed to be a, like, 13 plus game. So they're saying, how could you have a card like Earthbind, which, if you haven't seen, I'll let you Google that yourself. I'm not going to link that in the show notes, I don't think. Yeah. But it's a very suggestive card. And there's a lot of cards that are like that. Even some of the most iconic cards in the game, like Liliana the Veil, is a picture of Lily with, like, pretty intense cleavage and, like, really form-fitting clothes. And this is her most iconic card. Yep. I do think that it's kind of unfair to say, hey, you used these cards before, so this is why you should let Liz do this. Because I also do think that Wizards gets to change their mind about this stuff. Like, totally. We talked about depictions of racism and old Magic cards. Just because they had that in the past doesn't mean they have to do that in the future. Like, they do get to change the way they're doing that. And if you actually take a look at Liliana, in the last 6 years, she's become a lot more conservative. She's just wearing, like, ponchos.
She's wearing a lot more clothes now. She's covering up.
Yeah. And it's not that that's a good or bad thing. That's just the direction that Wizards is choosing to take their game. So I don't think it's fair for people to say, hey, just because these old cards exist is a reason that they should let Liz into the creator program. I don't think that's a fair argument. I take problem with that. But I also do think, like, hey, what if Liz were to cosplay Earthbind? What happens then? I don't know.
I think there's a problem there.
It's really weird. Yeah, there's probably a problem there, right? I don't think Wizard would be okay with that.
Or Liliana the Veil, or OG Eternal Witness. Like, there's plenty of cards out there that are, you know, provocative, I'll say.
Yeah.
Earthbind is one of, I mean, I'm old school, but it's just like, that's just one of the biggest vendors. And it would be hard to say, like, if you just posed from a Magic card that hasn't been banned, that's, you know, still legal. I mean, it's not like it's a great card, so it's not seeing play, but, you know, and that would get you out of something like this. That, I think that would be massively problematic. And I actually don't think that would happen, but I think there's a lot going on here. And this is where Wizards has a very, very progressive culture, right? And they want to be, and in many ways are, very progressive. Okay. This is the cost of that, because the perception now is there's massive hypocrisy by kicking Elizabeth out of this program, mm-hmm. right? Like this is your anti-sex worker. She's being kicked out because she has curves. She's, because she has 18 plus adult content, that's what you're really doing. You're really kicking her out because of all that. And, to be honest with you, this letter indicates that there is some truth to that. It is sexually, sexually explicit.
Yeah.
It was pornographic or sexually explicit, right? Stuff. I haven't seen her stuff, but OnlyFans, that's kind of what it's built for.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it does seem as soon, it feels like, because this doesn't say sexually explicit tied to magic or pornographic tied to magic. It says if you have this stuff and you're, using, posting, distributing it, you're not part of this program. So it seems like under these rules, she wasn't eligible to be part of the program to start with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then she was let in and then they kicked her out. Now it's a whole brouhaha, right? And what you said is true. It is ostensibly a children's game. I do wonder if their player base, what the actual mean age of the Magic player base is these days.
Agreed.
But, and this isn't in line with what they want. And maybe it's not in line with what Hasbro wants, because Hasbro can be part of this too. So, and of course, like there's that old standby, like they're a private company, they can make the decisions they want and they can base them whatever they want. So, it's their game, it's their program, it's their content creator program, they can do what they want. People are upset, and people always get upset about these things because we don't want to think about that. We don't want to think Wizards makes those rules. We don't want to think Hasbro has that power over our community, over what this community is. And this is where these things, I think, snowballs. Like, wait a minute, this isn't our community. You don't get to define this for our community. You don't get to say this about, who the content creators in my Magic community are, but they kind of do, and they've kind of wrote it out. It's kind of like right there in front of you, right? And I think that's where a lot of it becomes problematic. And we say to ourselves, this isn't who we want to be as a community. I would encourage everyone who thinks about this stuff, it doesn't have to be who you are as a community or what your Magic community is like. You still get to define that, right? Just as Wizards gets to define it for themselves. This is really tricky. Do I think they should have kicked her out? I think it's thin. I'll say that. Once she's in, I think it's thin.
I think that, Wizards does get to choose who they want to be their like brand representatives, right? There's mm-hmm. a lot, not just Wizards, there's a lot of companies that have brand ambassadorship programs. And the whole point of brand ambassadorship programs are to align themselves with people who are usually like public facing, who they think represent their brand well. So just an example, I was a brand ambassador for Twitch last year, and it's specifically for Magic. And they talked extensively about like who they wanted representing their brand. And it wasn't that they had to be the biggest streamer. It wasn't that they had to stream a specific game. It's that they had certain values, core values that they wanted to express to the world. And then they thought that by having an ambassadorship program, they could showcase to the world like, hey, we think these people represent this program well. So I do think it is their decision to decide who they want to associate themselves with. And I think people sometimes may be unfair because they're almost like saying like, Liz is entitled to be in that spot. And I don't think that's true.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
That said, I do think the way they handled it was awful, because if they had a problem with this before, I don't see why that image in question of like the Goddess of Magic or whatever that card is called is the reason they would kick her out. And mm-hmm. it seemed they just really beefed it. The mm-hmm. whole way it was handled was pretty bad. And the fact that they sent her an email that was just like very impersonal, really, without even saying what it was also a pretty bad look. And it also does make me feel in some ways like, oh, I guess cleavage is not okay. Like, should I not have cleavage on right now? Like, it does make me feel a little weird about that, right?
Mm-hmm. You gotta be careful about it. And I'll tell you what, there's pictures of me in a swimsuit on Facebook. You don't even have to join an OnlyFans. You could just find it. Right? I'm topless in those photos. Guess what? So that's a huge thing, right? And one of the things I thought about looking at this, right? And I'm a very liberal person, politically very left-leaning. What if it came out, hey, I'm a streamer? Because you see this with things like Chick-fil-A, and now there's these allegations that maybe In-N-Out, the owners of In-N-Out have contributed to the Trump fund. Well, what if I'm a streamer, but my full-time job is I work for a very conservative PAC, Political Action Committee, or I work for the Trump campaign. That's my day job. I work to reelect Donald Trump. And, would I get kicked out for that? Or, you know what I mean? Like, could that, would that be grounds if it came out like, hey, this streamer that's part of your content program is very, very right wing? Because the Magic community online is very, very left. They're yeah. very, very progressive, very, very left leaning. All of a sudden it's like, oh, this guy, Mashi Scanlon, you know, he is the head of the MAGA campaign or keep America great, whatever the re-election is. And there'd be a whole fervor over me doing that separate from my Magic. But all of a sudden there's a shot of me on my stream with the Keep America Great Again hat or something, right? Now I've brought it in, right? Is that grounds to kick me out? Like, you know, because originally I thought about the quartering, but the quartering probably violates some of the harassment stuff. And he's still gaming adjacent. You know, he can say this is my day job, but it's gaming adjacent. But what if you take it out of that? Just make it something very conservative. Or I work for a pro-life foundation. Like a lot of people, you know, or anything like that. Forget it offending conservative values. Flip it so it offends liberal values. Mm-hmm. Would we feel differently about it? Would this change how the community feels about it?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, this is the problem, right? It's I don't really know I'm not really sure what's right. I do think Wizards gets to make a decision about who they want to associate themselves with. I think it is fine for them to decide like, hey, this is just too edgy for us. Like this is too suggestive, because this is another argument that people make that I do want to point out that kind of annoys me, is people almost want to disregard the fact that she has an OnlyFans account. People want to ignore or like pretend it doesn't exist. But the fact is it does exist. A lot of people are saying like, hey, she keeps her content separate from like her Magic content separate from her OnlyFans. Her OnlyFans is a paid thing. You can only see it if you choose to sign up to it. But that doesn't mean that doesn't exist. It continues to exist. And I don't think it does anybody any favors to pretend like it doesn't. I do think that if Wizards is thinking like, hey, who do we want to represent our brand? And then they think, okay, the streamer showdown's going to go on and maybe like a kid's going to show up on Liz's stream and be like, hey, I really like the stream. Let me follow her on Twitter. You go to her Twitter and they find out that they have an OnlyFans account. And they also see that she's promoted by the Wizards sponsored creator program. It's a really easy link to say, oh, Wizards promotes this. Right.
Right.
And that's, I think, where their problem lies and the reason they don't want to have her in the program. But if that was the case, they really should have just not let her in the first place.
Exactly. Yeah. All roads lead to that. I think all roads really lead to like, this was, if this is how this was going to end, you never should have let her into the program. And I'm not saying personally that I feel like they shouldn't have let her in the program. I'm just saying from the Wizards perspective, if this is how this was going to play out, you could have saved yourself a lot. Like, I think you said it perfectly. They beefed it. They
really just fouled it.
They should not have done this. They shouldn't have handled it this way. I will give you, and coming back to this letter, here's some of the best advice when I got in health law, because doctors get sued a lot. It's a whole area of law. If you want to prevent getting sued, if you want to avoid a lawsuit, talk to someone, have a conversation with them, you know, because when things are letters like this, like I said, I agree that you want to protect your corporate image and you don't want to engage. And if you want to avoid all that, that is a goal. And when you're a big corporation, you can kind of do that and walk away. Like Wizards does not need to engage with this. They can just walk away from it.
Right.
Okay. But as an individual, have a conversation with someone. You want to empathize with the other side. You want them to empathize with you. I had a professor who, she had a surgery and it was botched and she almost died.
Oh my God.
And the doctor came to her and she was my law professor. She's a very accomplished attorney. Came to her and just picked up her hand and said, I am so sorry this happened. I am so, so sorry this happened. We're going to do everything we can to take care of you. There's no excuse for this happening. And I just want you to know I am personally and professionally so sorry this has happened. And she said in that instance, she was like, there's no way I'm suing this guy.
Huh.
He was being genuine with me. He's, you know, and she pulled through obviously, but I'm not saying you want to go out and do that all the time, but that's an important thing. Like engaging in that way can help. And that's not what happened here. And again, there's liability. Once you start that conversation, you're opening up liability. So again, I understand that. But I think what you've said also is really important, which is the entitlement side. Like, and we don't want to run around saying, well, so-and-so should get this and so-and-so deserves this and so-and-so has a right to this, because that's not what these programs are about. That's just not true.
Exactly.
Right. Right. And one of the things I thought was really lit that up in my mind. So for instance, for me, whether it be Magic TV, whether it's Magic FM, whatever, Monday Meta is too new, but you know, I've never had a preview card ever in the history of Magic. Never had a preview card. They just let me vote for the Hall of Fame for the first time this last year. So I know I was so stoked. I was so happy. I wrote a huge thing and they're like, yeah, you can just
send us the ballot. Thank you. Bye.
And I was like, oh, sorry. I kind of rationalized everything, you know. You've been an influencer, like a hardcore, you know, 24/7 influencer for ages, and you don't get a preview card.
Yeah, we were just talking about this before the podcast, and I was saying, yeah, like, I don't like this really entitled attitude of like, this person deserves this thing, because I've been streaming for 5 years and I've been doing contract work with Wizards for probably like 5 years also. And you know what? I don't always get a preview card, and I don't really get torn up about it when I don't, because I don't think it's a guaranteed. I don't think it's something, I don't take it for granted. I'm always happy when they reach out to me and they're like, hey, do you want a preview card? And I'm like, hell yeah, I think that's great. And I, not everything has to be for everyone. And I think that's where people are getting lost in the sauce. That said, I do think the way this was all handled was pretty bad. And I really do wish they would let her back in, because I do think Liz is very positive. I think she's a great ambassador to the game. Yes, she has an OnlyFans. I guess Wizards can decide if that's too much for them. But I think she's generally been like just a really positive force in the community. And and I don't like how she was treated here. I think it was like pretty crappy.
Yeah, I think I hope they let her back in. I think that she's entitled to a conversation with someone somewhere.
Yes, agree.
To understand, even if it's, you know, and I don't know her personally, I don't know, you know, if that trust is there. It's like, hey, I'm going to pick up the phone and call you, but you can't talk about this. You can't tweet this conversation. I want to have a conversation with you because I want you to understand why these things have happened and what's going on, but I can't have you going public with it. And can we make that rule, and can we have that conversation? I don't know if that's possible or not. Now, we both agree she should be let back, and we hope she gets back in. Do you think that will happen? Do you think this gets walked back, Gabby?
I mean, my guess is no. Like, generally speaking, I think Wizards does tend to reverse a lot of their decisions when there's public outcry. But my guess is, if what we're theorizing about what happened, which is someone out there was like, oh, let's take a look at who are our brand representatives in the content creator program, and saw her stuff and were like, wow, this is just not something we can associate with, I don't see how they walk that back. Like, I would like it if they did. I think it would be, or if they even gave her some better guidelines about like what's okay for her to do and not to do. Like, what if they wanted her to just have a Twitter that's specifically for Magic, where she doesn't post any bikini pictures? Like, maybe is that an okay solution? Maybe. Yeah. Like, maybe she, I know Liz loves Magic. Like, maybe she's cool with that and she can just have two separate Twitters. A lot of people do that. But I don't really see them walking it back. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if they can. I don't even know if it's Wizards' hands. Hasbro, I think, can be a factor here too.
Yes, there are a lot of unknowns in this situation that we don't really know why this happened. We have our theories as to what happened. Liz has her theories as to what happened. The truth is, we don't know.
Yeah, and we probably never will. To be just completely honest with you, we should probably, because even if that phone call happens, we shouldn't. I think we're never going to know about it.
Right.
So she may one day find out, but we don't know. Maybe they walk it back. Maybe they don't. We'll have to, you know what? That'll be another episode. Once they walk it back, we'll have a different episode of FM back. On that. Once they walk it back, maybe Elizabeth can join us and we can talk about, hey, welcome back to the content program. But that does it for this week. There's hours. We could have a five-part episode just on the content creator program and what's happening with it. It does. I will say this. This feels like what I would call a classic unforced error. It's a baseball term for when you make a mistake playing baseball and you just bungled it. There's no reason for it. And this kind of unforced error, just, it doesn't make sense. Like, why did, you know? Okay. Yeah, but
I agree.
Enough said there. That's our Magic FM for the week. The content creator program and the plight of Elizabeth Eden dealing with being kicked out of that content creator program, unfortunately. So it's been a good week. Thank you so much for sticking with us this week. It's been interesting. I thought it was going to be a slower episode, but there was a lot of meat on the bone, so we got a good opportunity to talk about it. If you're listening to us on the podcast, please subscribe. We love having subscribers. We do it every week, and you keep listening to the content, we'll keep making the content. If you're watching us, all the better. Check us out. We're on channelfireball.com. You can also find us on youtube.com/channelfireball, so you can find us either one. Gabby and I do look at the comments, and you know, happy to talk to you, happy to hear from you, so thank you for all of that. Support all of Gabby's content by either subscribing to CFB Pro or making purchases on channelfireball.com using the code Gabby. Until next week, I'm Moshi Scanlon at Moshi Scanlon across all social media platforms. She's Gabby Sparts. You can find her at twitch.tv/GabbySparts or at Gabby Sparts across all social media platforms. We'll be back next week. Until then, be wonderful to yourselves and be wonderful to each other.
Bye-bye.